Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
When it comes to heating and cooling, experience makes the difference. Harold Floyd Heating and Air is the Delta's trusted Lennox dealer, providing expert installation, repairs, duct cleaning, and more. Call today for your free estimate at 662-543-3321. Harold Floyd Heating and Air, keeping you comfortable in every season.
What's up, everybody? Glad to see you on this Thursday night, this edition of the podcast. My name is Michael Borky. Always appreciate you being here. And I've made an observation today, and it centers around something that Kirby Smart said, actually. So I'm going to play that for you. We're going to talk about it, and then we're going to get to my observation about nostalgia. I'll tell you what I mean here coming up in just a little bit. But I am glad that you are here. Like the last three times I've promised an abbreviated one and I have not delivered on that promise. We've gone normal time. Tonight we are going to be, this will be a shorter one. It just will. I have got to take care of some things. Got a busy weekend upcoming and I need to, I got stuff to do. So it's going to be a shorter one tonight, but I'm glad you're here. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And also right here on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell, all that good stuff. And this edition of the show is brought to you by Scruggs in Saltillo. Scruggs in Saltillo's got everything you need under one roof. And I mean everything for home furnishings, home improvement, appliances, fishing, hunting, boots, clothes, beer, animal food, John Deere tractors, 0% for 36 months for John Deere lawnmowers, commercial lawnmowers, Gators at 1.9%, compact tractors, the big heavy stuff, 0% financing, everything you need for your farm, your lawn, or your garden. It is an unbelievable store. Everything that you want for less at Scruggs. Go see them in Saltillo. And when you go, tell them that it was me that sent you there at Scruggs in Saltillo. All right. So I'm going to start actually with this clip of Kirby Smart, because I think there's wide implications of this. And also, again, I have made an observation about the way people view college football. First, good people at the Next Round, they were over at the Region's Tradition, and I am so jealous that we don't have a tournament like the Region's Tradition in Mississippi. Great interviews that they were able to get, and this is part of their interview with Kirby Smart, where they ask him about depth compared to years past. Here's what Kirby Smart had to say.
Now, how much has the depth changed on your roster,
man?
The 1-2, 2-3s?
I tell people all the time, I was like, our early, our best Alabama teams, I'm going to go 2012, 13, 14, 15, would beat the dog out of all these teams right now because they could practice different and they were deeper, okay? The game has not changed that much from 2012 to 2025, but the roster has, and those teams – would clubber lane somebody. They would just physically beat you. And I look at our team now and I go, oh, man, oh, God, we don't have the depth we have. We're not as good as we were. We're not going to be there. And then we go out there and win the SEC. And I'm like, it's just relative. Yeah. It's relative. It's like everybody's going – I'm not saying going down because there's an Indiana. There's a Michigan. But relative, it's going down. Like, there's not as much talent acquisition and much as talent on a team to be able to just develop it and grow. I'm playing younger players. I got kids that would have never played at Georgia when I got there or at Alabama I was there that are having to play now.
Right. Now, how much is the
my bad on the looping, but some people took that as complaining. I did not. I don't think Kirby Smart's complaining. I think he's just being very matter of fact. But when I hear that, and one, frankly, I think he's right. I do think, generally speaking, the Alabama teams that he coached for would absolutely be dominant in today's college football. But the fact that Kirby Smart, who has, in this era, run a great program, like Georgia's still on top of college football. That's what, in part, made the Sugar Bowl win so big for Ole Miss is you went and beat the gold standard of the sport, and that's Georgia. They have adapted to this era. They're still building great teams and super talented and recruiting well, and they've got the money thing figured out. It's still a great program. And to hear the coach of that program straight up say out loud, I am playing players that I would never have played pre-portal era, my hand goes up and I say, good. That is a good thing. You should love to hear that Kirby Smart is saying what he's saying out loud. I can't build depth like I used to. I can't build a dominating team like I used to. And I'm having to play players that I would never have played before because I can't stockpile 85 of the best players in the country anymore. And what I can't figure out is why people will hear him say that and sympathize with him. Again, I don't think he's complaining. I think he's being matter of fact, but people will hear that and like, oh no, we got to fix this. We got to fix the fact that Georgia can't put 85 of the best players on their team anymore and then none of them can go anywhere and we can stockpile talent. This is a great thing, in my opinion, for college football because I don't view the past in a nostalgic way. I don't look at the years gone by of college football and think how amazing that was and how awful this is. And I think I've figured out why. It's a societal phenomenon. You see it with music. Somebody actually replied to a Josh Pate tweet with a chart about how everybody thinks that the music was best when they were in a certain age range. People look back on college football and, oh, it was so much better then. Not because the football was better then. It's because life was better then. You were younger. You were happier. Other things were going on. You had fewer responsibilities. And so when life was good and you had your youthful spirit, everything that you did was also awesome as well. And so when you grow up and you go to college football games, you have fond memories of what college football was for you when you were happier, when life was easier. And I don't look at it that way. Kirby Smart brought up 2012, 14, all those years. I don't know how any human being can look at college football in those years and tell me that it was better then than it is now. The only thing different between then and now is back then, a lot of you were convinced that the Music City Bowl meant something. But in that, especially in that time frame, there was a handful, maybe at best 10 programs going into a season that even remotely had a possibility of competing for and winning a championship. And that's being generous. There were years in a row where on the radio show, we picked the playoff, the four-team playoff, for years in a row, three of the four teams that made it. We did it years in a row. It was so predictable that the season had no shock value when it came to the top of the sport. Everything at the end was decided by the beginning. There were only a handful of teams that could compete, and the system back then allowed for a situation where an 11-1 Big 12 champion Baylor was not allowed to compete for a championship. They weren't allowed. They weren't included. They weren't invited to the playoff to compete for a championship, and that Baylor and that TCU team could have beaten anybody in 2014. Anybody. They could have beaten them, but they weren't even afforded the opportunity to try. What a great system that is. But we look back on those years and think of them fondly because that was 12 years ago and life was easier 12 years ago. I swear that's what's going on here. I swear that's what it is because you look at every single era of college football and you did not have the possibility of an Indiana winning a national championship in any era before this one. The outcome, I mean, maybe before I was born, you know, pre-1992, sure. But the era in which I grew up in and my generation grew up in, 99% of college football had no chance at competing for a championship, had no chance at getting the best players, had no respect at all. When they tried to get those players and they got them, something's wrong here. You can't sign good players at schools that don't have a history. Remember, if you're not a brand, you can't sign players. And if you do, you are bad. Remember that phenomenon? So you weren't allowed to sign good players because the national narrative was against you when you did it. And you were just supposed to be pat on the head and be happy that you go to the Music City Bowl. And that was, when you look back on that, that wasn't great. That system wasn't acceptable either. So I'm not gonna be gaslit anymore by these media folks that want to tell you that the four-team playoff era was the best one, because it wasn't. Undefeated Power Conference champion got left out of the four-team playoff. 11-1 Baylor got left out. Big 12 champion got left out of the four-team playoff. They were not allowed to play for a national championship. In the BCS era, an undefeated SEC champion was not allowed to compete for a championship. And you tell me that that was a more desirable system because of bowl games? No. And then on top of the fact that because you had a roster limit of 85 in the way recruiting went, nobody was allowed, other than a handful of programs, to sign the best players in the country to build a roster that could be competitive with the big boys in college football. But now that talent is spread around. Now the opportunity for an Ole Miss to make noise exists, and on a consistent annual basis, get players that are good enough to compete for championships. Indiana can go win one. And there is a lot of talk and a lot of conversation around saving college football. And I tend to agree that ideally there would be some kind of guardrail rule structure, right? But I do not agree with the idea or the concept that we need to, as Nick Saban talked about, go back to the days where it was equal, because it never was. It was never equal, never has been. The system that I want in place is one that Congress does not get involved, that the president doesn't get involved, even though his authority on that is, you know, not really that strong anyway. The president of the United States doesn't really have authority to just create new law. We've been over that. It's civics 101. But the thought or the idea that we need to do whatever we can to return college football back to the old way is only said by people that are not looking at what is happening on the field as much as they are looking at what is happening around what's going on the field. There has never been more parity. There has never been more spreading out of talent. And you have Kirby Smart publicly saying he is not capable of building a roster like he used to. And you've got people that will sit here and tell you that that is a good thing. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing for the Blue Bloods. But now they have to make room at the table for everybody else. And that makes people uncomfortable. So does Ole Miss want college football to be saved a little bit? I still don't like the fact that it is all being put on you, the fan, to pay this. There needs to be some reforms in some capacity. But not in the manner in which people are discussing right now. Whatever system actually provides balance is what we need to keep, because the old system was totally imbalanced. This current one could not possibly be more balanced than it is right now. So anyway, I saw a lot of that conversation today, the Kirby Smart thing. I know we've talked about that before, but I'm telling you, I think I've nailed it. I think I've figured out that these journos, these college football talking heads, only look back at the past as better than the present because they were happier in the past than they are in the present. I swear that's what it is. Same thing with music. Oh, they don't make music like they used to. And I'm kind of that guy. Like I like music that was written and recorded before I was alive. But you hear that all the time. Every generation thinks the way they did things and what they had was better back then. And I think that phenomenon is existing in college football as well. I would rather them not change anything. I mean this, I'll end here because I know I'm being repetitive. I would rather them not change anything at all than go back to the old way. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Logan Smith, Shelter Insurance for auto, home, life, or insurance for your business. Give him a call, get a quote. You'll get award-winning services and somebody that will actually take care of you on a personal level with customizable insurance packages. 601-823-3500, 601-823-3500. And don't forget when you call him to tell him that it was me that sent you there. Also, Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every day. Great online banking platform, 16 locations here in Mississippi. Local loan servicing and decision making. That's in the name at Priority One Bank. And also Advantage Business Systems, absms.com for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. First comment, won't drag on thoughts about the baseball series. What's your impressions of it? Ole Miss's health with Fed and Folly, and this is a major swing series for the rest of the season. I think, so this is a little extreme, I guess, but I think Ole Miss will not host a regional if they do not win this series. I mean, I really think that that's kind of what's on the line here. And now that I've said that, they're going to get swept by Arkansas and they're going to sweep A&M and Alabama and host a regional. Yeah, I'm concerned about health, and I'm concerned that the offense has regressed back to the mean. I think when healthy, especially the way they pitch it, this is a winnable series. Arkansas's offense does not scare you really in any way. You face much better ones, especially last weekend. But health is the big thing. They need Federico and Folly back in the lineup badly right now. I do think they will win too if those guys are back. The playing field is more balanced roster-wise, though those peak freeze teams, which did not maximize, were capable of competing at the highest level, could have been done in the previous era. Quick question, have we seen our last Governor's Cup in Pearl? I think so. I'm not sourced on that. I think so. I live in this area. I've already seen a sporting event leave this area with the Sanderson Farms Championship. I don't want sporting events to leave this area. Too many sports fans here. I don't like this conversation. It makes me uncomfortable. But regardless of what they reported attendance-wise, over 8,000, come on, guys. You know, we have eyes. Don't gaslight us. The crowds for that game are not huge anymore the way that they used to be when I first moved here. The venue, while they're trying, the new people involved are trying. They're doing some improvements in the stadium, but the field, again, almost ended a player's season again in an unacceptable manner again. And the broadcast is not up to standard again. The Southern Miss game that they play down there is already not broadcasted at all. So you have a substandard facility, substandard crowds, and a substandard playing surface. Brian O'Connor's asking publicly, what's the point? You have to wonder, what's the point? What do they get out of this game anymore? I don't want to see it go away. I love that the teams get on the road and go see other parts of the state. I've suggested in the past that I think football should go down to the coast and do a couple of spring practices or whatever down in South Mississippi. Throw the fans down there a bone. Go practice at Gulf Coast. They got great facilities down there. Go practice there just for a day or two, just go see your fans down there. I like that they do this, but venue's not adequate. The crowds aren't good enough to justify it, and the playing surface almost ended Will Furness's career. It's unacceptable. It's completely unacceptable. crazy thing about this era is that of college football that's different than other eras is back in the day, teams like Bama, Georgia, Ohio State could get the best players at every position. Now they have to pick and choose. Yep. I think a lot of this comes down to how the programs are run. Look at Arkansas, for example. They were awful 10, 12 years ago, still bad now. And you also have a lot of fans of teams that are bad that are using, oh, well, this is NIL's fault, as a scapegoat. And that's that cracks me up, too. It's people say, well, it's easier to disconnect from the team because you don't know who the players are. And yes, like to a degree, I agree with you. I think the schools need to do as much as they can to connect with their fans. Like, I do agree with that. But what fan base showed up in mass for losing teams? Nobody's ever supported a loser. So I don't love that argument. It's, oh, well, I mean, look at the crowd. Look at the crowd in Fayetteville. This is all NIL's fault. A 2-10 team's not drawing a crowd. Never have. And they won't either. So, I mean, look at the Ole Miss Cal game. Look at the attendance for that one. That was before transfers and stuff. That was pre-NIL. There's nobody there. People don't support losing programs. They never have and they never will. Do I think the schools need to do more to help people connect? Yeah, but it's a scapegoat. You're finding something to blame other than yourself when your teams are bad. Give me one example of a football program that has a great coach, that has adapted to this era, that has a fully bought-in fan base that is losing. Find me that program right now. If we're going to have people that blame NIL and Portal for teams not being good, tell me what program has a great coach that has adapted to this era with a fan base that's fully bought in that is losing. Good luck, because you can't find that. Same as it ever was. You have to be aligned. You have to have a great coach. And if you have those two things, you're going to win. Well, you have, you know, these programs with so much money, and they're the ones that are going to win everything. Well, number one, Indiana just won the national championship. And number two, when has that not been the case? Also, the Final Four, do you see the stadium size of the four teams that just went to the semifinal? Not the biggest fan bases in college football. Not the richest ones either. But the schools with the resources have always been able to do the most. That's not new. I'm weary of the complaining when you look at the football product, and the football product is fun and it's interesting and more teams are involved, and more teams are truly involved, like actually have talent to win. And I'm weary of the bickering, because, yeah, there are problems. Don't get me wrong, but I think presently the upside is higher than the downside. 10 years ago, your schools that were competing for titles legitimately year in, year out were Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State, Michigan, and Oregon. Everyone else was just pretending. List was even smaller than that most years. Look at Ole Miss in the Freeze era. Got busted because they started beating the big dogs. And Hugh Freeze couldn't keep his mouth shut. Ross Bjork handled that terribly. But even if Hugh Freeze kept his mouth shut, even if he didn't say anything, if he didn't do the NCAA thing, there still would have been, wait, Ole Miss isn't allowed to get good players. That something must be up. How is Ole Miss getting good players? How ridiculous was that? 6 years sober today. Benny, that's awesome, man. Happy birthday. That is really cool, man. Really, really glad you're here in the form that you are in, man. I think it's better now because Ole Miss has a chance now. 10 years ago, they had no shot. But here's the thing. 10 years ago, Ole Miss kind of did. The narrative around them was that they weren't allowed to be there, but Ole Miss did have a shot in 2014 and 15 to compete at the highest level. I think it's better now because it's better now because Indiana just won a championship, Dennis. That's why. It's not just about Ole Miss. Yes, this podcast covers Ole Miss. I am allowed to have thoughts that are independent of Ole Miss. I think my brain functions pretty well to be able to do that. I'm not being flippant. I guess I am being flippant, but no, I think it's better. Ole Miss could go 5-7 this year, and my stance will not change. This system allows for everybody to get involved. Everybody. And I'm just... not going to change my mind because of Ole Miss's win-loss record. I'm a little bit more principled than that with my opinions, I think. You're terrified of this season? I understand why. Big expectations, really talented roster. The question is, how will fans and programs who have constant success in the new era respond when things go bad? Here is what I think will happen anyway. I don't think when things go bad, the people that have tasted success will quit. I mean, think about it. Oh, sorry. The feeling that all of you felt when Ole Miss went to the semifinal, will a couple losing seasons stop you from chasing that feeling again? No. No, losing seasons will not cause you to stop. I don't think. Now, a team that's never, ever, ever won, you might have a harder time getting people to buy into what it takes to win because they haven't won in this era and you are scapegoating. But since Ole Miss has gotten to the semifinal, I don't think that a couple of losing seasons will stop you from chasing that feeling, if that makes sense. With proof of concept, people will take off. I agree completely. I think the problem people have with Ole Miss is that they grew up with Ole Miss being an average to below average program. Ole Miss is supposed to finish eighth in the SEC, not first or second. Yep. Exactly. Then you have a school like Ohio State who is thriving in both eras. That they are. But I would still tell you that Ohio State is thinner than they have been. That they have gotten some pretty great injury luck, by the way. But they've adapted. They've adapted beautifully. Auburn and Nebraska have pretty good attendance for average to below average teams. Do they? Did you see Auburn's attendance this year? Nebraska is a bit of an anomaly. You are right about them, but Auburn had horrible crowds this year. I mean, even when they were ranked in the South Alabama game and there was 30,000 empty seats in their stadium. No, nobody supports a loser. Are you going to watch the Kentucky Derby? No, I will not. I don't think I will, to be honest with you. One of the things that has truly suffered in the new era is bowl games, which is in part a media-driven issue. Yeah, and I mean, but here's the thing about the bowl games. When you watched them, what was different? Truly. I mean, seriously. They were played. You had a lot of fun games, a lot of close games. The SEC lost a lot. Who did you miss in a bowl game? That's what I keep going back to. The stuff around the games is bad, but like a player opts out of a bowl game and people don't even know who the player is at all. Like if they didn't know that a player opted out of the bowl game and they went and watched the bowl game, they would never know that the player wasn't there. But they see it on Twitter or Facebook and they get outraged. Oh my gosh, this is so horrible. And the game gets played, you don't even notice. and the ratings are still good. So people are still watching those. Bowl season, to me, was always just kind of there. Like, yeah, I watched it this year. I watched it 5 years ago. I watched it 10 years ago. And it's still, when I watch, it's still the same. Like what's different? A few players that you've never heard of or don't care about or don't know exist aren't playing in the game? Why does that matter? Like, you don't even notice that. I don't know. Maybe that's a naive take on my part, but you don't even notice that they're gone when you watch the bowl games. You don't notice. There are great games. There are bad games. There are too many of them because you kept watching them and ESPN kept creating new ones. And if bowl season gets reduced, okay, so be it. So be it. Of all the things that made college football great, the Motor City Bowl is not one of those things. I'm sorry. For the sicko, maybe. For the real person in real life, no. What schools in the SEC do you think are incapable of winning in the new era or are severely hampered as of now? Also, what do you think about fan outlook? I mean, what's your definition of winning? Because, I mean, everybody, sans Mississippi State and Kentucky, have shown you in this era that they can have a playoff caliber team. Vanderbilt last year had a playoff caliber team. Absolutely, they did. So everybody has shown that except for Kentucky and State. Lebby still has a lot of work to do. I mean, they have an over-under win projection of, what, 3.5 or 4? He's won 2 Power 4 games in 2 years. And then Kentucky just hired a new coach. So we'll see there. But if Vanderbilt is building a playoff caliber roster, then everybody can. And I mean everybody can. Yes, absolutely. Oh, South Carolina also hasn't shown a playoff. But I mean, they won 9 games 2 years ago, right? So, okay. Sorry, left out a couple. So Mississippi State hasn't. Kentucky hasn't. Auburn hasn't. And Arkansas hasn't. I think Auburn can. I think South Carolina can. I mean, again, I think all 16 can. More difficult at some places than others, but I think Arkansas fans the last few years have had the fight beaten all the way out of them, so fans aren't quite as gung-ho before Morris. Yeah, see, that's one of those fan bases that you have to wonder, you wonder about more so than what we were talking about earlier with a fan base that has tasted that success. Arkansas never has, but what's the best baseball field in the state of South Carolina? One that you've been to? Like the field itself, I don't know. The stadium. It's in Columbia, South Carolina's. No. The best baseball field in the state of South Carolina is Fluor Field in downtown Greenville. That is the best ballpark in the state of South Carolina. It's a minor league park. I like it better than Founders Park, to be totally honest with you. The park itself. Now, the atmosphere, obviously, the college one is better when they're right, but the park itself, where the Greenville Drive play, is a better ballpark than Founders Park. I like it better. You think Arkansas is incapable of winning big in football in this new era because both logistical and self-inflicted reasons. Yeah, but I mean, I don't know if this is the right guy or not, but I really do think you are just one coach away from flipping a roster and having a team that is capable of making the playoff. It can happen so quickly. Look at Indiana. Thoughts on State stealing Indy Okafor, although some reporting says he didn't have a committed offer. He committed to Ole Miss, and Ole Miss didn't acknowledge it. I don't know. I don't think that for either school he would have been a particularly impactful player. Like for State, 100-year State fan, I think that, you know, he'll be a role player off the bench type, I think. Definitely not a guy that you're expecting, you know, 20 per game out of. But I don't know the nuances of it. I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I don't know. I didn't think he was a particularly great pickup when he committed to Ole Miss. And so, you know, I don't think he's a particularly great one when he flips either, to be fully transparent with you. But Ole Miss's portal class right now is leaving some to be desired. So you're rooting for State to win that Tennessee game. They would have had crazy momentum at 5-0. Gosh, and they should have won that game. Lebby's in-game coaching is problematic right now. I mean, they had the Texas game 1-2, and I mean, they're up three scores, and he's late in the second half snapping the football with 26 seconds left on the clock. Crazy. Do you really think any school in the SEC would intentionally hold back their investment potential in football if success doesn't come in the next few seasons, investing in other sports instead? They would be very stupid to do that. Kentucky's a candidate for that. Maybe Arkansas's a candidate for that, but it's a very stupid thing. What do you expect from Horatio Fields and Caleb Cunningham this year? At the present, to have roles but not be like the go-to guys, if that makes sense. I think it'll be more Deuce Alexander, Jonte Cook, maybe Daryl Gill. But those guys, I think they'll have roles in the offense. But I don't know if they'll be like wide receiver 1 and 2, if that makes sense. On the basketball side, very concerned about the future outlook of the state of Ole Miss basketball, both by the fans and investment with bad seasons. Yeah, I mean, you know, they do return Patton Pinkins, and he's a quality player. I think Comerdine, with another year, could be a quality player. A couple of these guys they've gotten out of the portal, you can look at and, you know, see the team improving. But yeah, I think another year like the one they had last year, and this thing gets ugly really fast. Because, you know, right or wrong, when you hired Chris Beard, you took a PR hit, a bad one, right? And it went away after a couple days, but you took that hit. And the whole point of taking that hit was it was going to lead to consistent winning basketball. And if that's the hit you took to hire the coach, to pay him what you're paying him, to get not only not winning basketball, but ugly losing basketball, that's tough to swallow, and that's tough to support. Top three games you're looking forward to next year for Ole Miss. Top three in order: LSU, Texas, Georgia. I think Oklahoma can be a sneaky, super fun game, but LSU, Texas, Georgia, in that order, are my top three. Or the two starting tight ends, you think? Oh, the two that are returning Luke has and Caleb Odom. For some reason, so I use our lads, and for some reason they don't have Caleb Odom listed at tight end, like at all, which is odd. But I think you're going to see a lot more two tight end sets too. Let's play the scenario. It goes bad again. Do they take a financial hit to fire Beard and move on? How bad is bad? I mean, if it just completely bottoms out, probably. But if they're just like normal bad, no. Probably see another year. But, you know, the hope is that, you know, they get another portal commit or two and Pinkins takes that step forward and it's all good. But anyway, yeah, 5-13 probably. It can't go that bad again, can it? There's too much proof that, I don't know, maybe there isn't. We'll see. Enjoy your baseball this weekend. We'll be back on Sunday to recap the weekend together. I have got to go. Went longer than I wanted to again, but that's okay. I appreciate you guys being here, and I'll talk to you on the next one.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.